but deliver us from the schemes of the evil one.
Did you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
Good afternoon, radio listeners. Welcome from the Encouragers, Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael. We are on the air every Saturday at 3 p.m., bringing words of encouragement from the Holy Bible for everyday life. Please continue to listen in and be blessed. Our Father, who art in heaven, all-powerful, omnipotent, everywhere at the same time, omnipresent, and all knowledgeable, omniscient. Please forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I thank you for this opportunity to preach your word from the Holy Bible. May what I say be helpful to someone and pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. May what I speak for today is assurance of faith. Am I truly a Christian? This question can cause fearful trembling in believers. God loves to give his children the gift of the full assurance of faith. Hebrews 10:22 through 23 states, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he who is faithful that promised. Let us draw near in an exhortation wherein Christians are called to act fully upon their confidence to enter by the blood of Christ into God's presence. True heart. In context, this is a cleansed, sprinkled, and believing in full assurance of faith heart that is submissive to God. Heart sprinkled clean, wherein Jesus' atoning work purifies the inner person. Bodies washed is likely a reference to baptism, which employs ritually pure water. The exhortation, let us hold fast, calls for a faithful, unwavering embrace of the confession of our hope, which is the church's agreement to the teachings concerning Christ and his work, teachings that produce hope. For he who promised is faithful, wherein confident hope in God's promises stems from God's trustworthy character. What is the believer to be mostly assured of in the faith? The answer is eternal salvation. The scripture states, for he is faithful that promised. Promise what? What in all existence has the greatest significance? It is not endless fellowship with God. Is it not endless fellowship with God? Thus, eternal life, dear salvation, is the most important promise. The full assurance of faith is a precious thing, a source of deep peace and consolation, and he wants us to have it. But like most things in Christian life, assurance is something that is cultivated and grows deeper and stronger over time. It is a gift that God gives to us gradually through frequent testing. Assurance grows by repeated conflict, by our repeated experimental proof of the Lord's power and goodness to save. When we have been brought very low and helped, sorely wounded and healed, cast down and raised again, have given up all hope and been suddenly snatched from danger and put in safety. And when these things have been repeated to us and in us 1,000 times over, we begin to learn to trust simply to the word and power of God, beyond and against appearances. And this trust when habitual and strong, bears the name of assurance. For even assurance has degrees. In other words, God's way of growing the sweet gift of assurance in us is by putting us through numerous and varied hardships. The process is designed to be hard. Trials are the way that faith is proven, refined, and strengthened. For James 1:2-3 states, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Assurance grows through spiritual conflict. Paul writes in Romans 5:3-4, "And not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope." Other scriptures that speaks about the growth of assurance are Hebrews 12:7-8, which reads, "If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons." The discipline of enduring trials and suffering ends up proving that we are God's children. Hebrews 12:11 states, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them that are exercised thereby." One of the peaceful, consoling fruits of the righteousness of God that depends on faith is assurance. And it's a fruit that is realized later and in increasing amounts. Philippians 3:9 states, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Why has God designed the process of giving us a growing assurance of faith through enduring trials? It may be because we cannot be safely trusted with assurance till we have that knowledge of the evil and deceitfulness of our hearts, which can be acquired only by painful, repeated experience. Like Peter, who confidently promised Jesus that he would never deny him, only hours before he did. We do not realize as younger believers how powerful our sin nature is and how weak our faith is. We do not know how proud and self-reliant we are. It is the fiery trials that apply heat to our faith and cause the impurities of unbelief in the form of doubt, fear, anxiety, anger, jealousy, bitterness, selfish ambition, fear of man, and more to rise to the surface. And when we see the impurities, we can fear our faith may not be real. And that is what God wants. But when we see the horrible sin in us and feel our helplessness to get rid of it on our own, it pushes us in desperation to trust Christ's work on the cross alone. When we see our numerous weaknesses and feel our helplessness to be strong on our own, it pushes us to search out and trust Christ's promises to us alone. We can have no security from gifts, labors, services, or past experiences, but that from first to last, our only safety is in the power, compassion, and faithfulness of our great Redeemer. It is the various kinds of pressing, painful, exposing trials that teach us to trust in Christ for everything, to really live by faith in the Son of God. Galatians 2:20 states, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." And so God grows the full assurance of faith in us and causes the joyful, peaceful fruit of righteousness to grow in us through trials. He wants our faith to rest fully on the rock of Christ, so that we rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. 2 Corinthians 1:9 states, but we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead. The sweet God-given gift of assurance looks like verse 3 in the famous hymn, Amazing Grace, which says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Jesus hung, bled, and died on the cross to redeem us from our sins. Therefore, let us trust in his redemptive work on the cross and have the full assurance of faith in his promise of eternal life. Some listeners may not have given their lives to Christ, but want to do so. John 3:16 states, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If you believe and are willing to follow Christ, then join a church that is based on the Holy Bible. Now, a breath of fresh air with Minister David Michael.
Good afternoon and welcome to A Breath of Fresh Air with the Encourager. Today's topic is the answer to fear, false evidence appearing real. Months after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks on Washington and New York, psychiatrists reported that people who live far away from these tragic events were still coming to them paralyzed by fear. We live in a world shaken by fear, anxiety, and worry. What is the answer to this stifling fear? After Jesus had been put to death, his disciples huddled in fear behind closed doors, filled with uncertainty and despair. But suddenly, they found themselves in the presence of their living Lord, and at his first words, their fears disappeared. Jesus said, "Peace to you," in Luke 24:36. The answer to our fears is found in a personal faith in the living, glorified Lord. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." And the answer to collective fear is a corporate faith in the living, glorified Lord. The answer to tensions and fears is for the world to know him who is alive forevermore. We do not worship a dead Christ. We worship a risen Christ who has broken the power of sin, death, and hell, and is alive forevermore. Why then should we fear? There is nothing to fear when our faith is in God. Remember, all of us have violated God's divine law and fall short of his glory. Yet, be encouraged because God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who died between two criminals, was buried in a borrowed tomb. But early on the third day, he arose with all power in his hands, so that you may have everlasting life. So put God first, trust and obey his word, and when fear calls your name, allow your faith in God to answer the call.
You have been listening to Reverend Barbara Coleman and Minister David Michael, the Encouragers, bringing you words of encouragement from the Holy Bible. We hope that we have said something that was encouraging to you as you continue on your life's journey. Thank you for listening.
Hi, this is Dr. Gerard Curry of Tradition Worship Center in Port St. Lucie. Our program Extreme Faith airs on WCNO Monday through Friday at 7:15 a.m. and again at 7:15 p.m. We are a Word and Spirit Church, and not only do we believe in miracles, signs, and wonders,